Speaking of radio, the Jack Benny program.
Well, Jack was very enthusiastic about all those things. And Jack would say, we go for a hamburger. He'd say, this is the greatest hamburger I ever had in my life.
Jack's manager, Irving Fine.
Once, I tell the story in the book, we went back, I think it was 1949, for a dinner for Harry Truman when he was president of the United States. And at this dinner, all the notables in Washington were there. And after the dinner, there were a lot of private parties. But Jack said, no, I want to get a quick bite. Let's skip the parties and let's find a place to get some simple eat. So we walked out in our evening clothes, and we walked about two or three blocks from the hotel, and we found a diner. And we went in, we had ham and eggs and coffee. Well, ham and eggs were good, but, you know, how good could ham and eggs be? But Jack said, these are the greatest ham and eggs I've ever eaten in my whole life. And he kept talking about this diner that had the greatest ham and eggs he ever had his whole life. And then 6 years later, we were back in Washington doing a dinner for President Eisenhower. And when the dinner was over, Jack said, hey, we got to find that place for those great ham and eggs. And we went searching all over Washington. I'd forgotten where it was. We walked all over Washington in our evening clothes looking for this diner. We finally found it and had ham and eggs again. Jack was always enthusiastic that way. One day, George Burns, in his introduction to my book, and in his introduction, he tells a story that when Jack signed a $2 million deal, he went to his lawyer's office downtown Los Angeles. And then he came back into the Hillcrest Country Club where they both belong, and he saw George. And he was all excited, and George thought he was excited about the deal. And George says, well, how are you? George, Jack said, boy, I'm so excited. You know what I found? And George said, what? He said, I found that by driving down Wilshire Boulevard at exactly 28 miles an hour, you can go right through without stopping for a red light, all the way. Isn't that terrific? And he never once mentioned the $2 million deal he had signed. And
That's the kind of Jack Benny.
One day he met George in the club, and he said, George, have you taken a shower today? And George said, no, why? He said, you've got to take a shower. George said, why? He said, the towels are the greatest. He said, the softest, the most wonderful towels. You've got to take a shower. That was Jack.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Barry Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, on the corner of CBS Square, there's a small drugstore which is frequently visited by radio personalities. At the moment, Mervin, the soda jerker, is talking to Flossie, the new waitress.
Take it easy, Flossie. Don't be so nervous.
I can't help it, Mervin. After all, this is my first day as a waitress.
Yeah, it's nothing to worry about. What did you used to do?
I was in the movies.
You? You was in the movies?
Yeah. I was head popcorn popper at the Pantages.
Well, why did you quit?
My boyfriend got tired of kissing my salty fingers. Gee, I hope I make good at this job.
Oh, don't worry. You'll do all right. Uh-oh. Get ready for business. Here comes Jack Benny and some of his cast.
Oh, gee, celebrities. Who are they?
Dennis Day, Don Wilson, Phil Harris, and Jack Benny. You see? They're starting across the street.
Oh, yeah. Which one is Jack Benny?
The one that looks like he won't make it. Hey, you better set a table for him.
Okay, Mervin. Give me 4 glasses of water.
You'll only need 3. One of them never touches the stuff. Now, come on. You better get busy, Flossie.
Now, come on, fellas. There are plenty of tables.
Let's sit over by the window.
Okay, by me.
Hiya, Mervin.
Good health to all from Rexall.
Phil, why do you always make him do that?
Well, it only costs me $1 a month, and if my sponsor comes in, he'll be impressed.
Why?
Because this is a thrifty drugstore.
Oh. Well, let's sit down, fellas.
Your orders, please.
Well,
Get some new talent here.
Your order, please, gentlemen.
I'll take a ham sandwich on rye and a cup of coffee.
Yes, sir.
I'll have the same.
Yes, sir.
And I'll have a glass of milk and some apple pie a la mode.
Yes, sir. What flavor ice cream do you want on your pie?
Oh, no ice cream. Just put on a scoop of mashed potatoes.
Dennis. Dennis, why in the world do you order pie with a scoop of mashed potatoes?
Because I'm a slow eater.
What's that got to do with it?
Ice cream melts.
Well, I asked him. He answered me. Now I'm too sick to eat.
What do you have, sir?
Well, I'll have a shrimp cocktail, some clam chowder, a porterhouse steak, hearts of lettuce with Thousand Island dressing, some green peas, french fried potatoes, a piece of chocolate layer cake, and a cup of coffee. Can you remember that?
I hope I can carry it.
That'll be all, miss.
Thank you. I'll be right back with your orders, gentlemen.
Say, fellas. Say, she's a kind of cute-looking girl, isn't she?
Yeah. Nice personality.
Huh?
Beautiful red hair, sunny smile, trim ankles, cute little figure, and...
Phil, remember, you're married.
I know, but I can still take inventory, can I?
Yes. Hey, Dennis, what are you looking at?
There's lipstick on my glass.
Lipstick? Well, I'll call the waitress and tell her...
No. This is exciting.
Dad, what's exciting about lipstick on a glass?
It's spring, Dad. Spring.
Oh, be quiet.
There are some shows, some comedians I know in the past, in one season, they would go through 3, 4, 5 sets of writers in one season. Mm. Jack had... had writers for years and years and years, and then circumstances sometimes would, where the war came along and two of the writers left, so you had to get new writers, and you got 4 new writers, and they were with him for, almost 20 years.
And you still call them the new writers?
No, there were two writers who came in 1950, and they were the new writers. Uh-huh. They were sort of came on as junior writers.
Uh-huh.
And then a year or two later, they became regular writers, but to Jack, they were the new writers. And they were with us for 20, 25 years. And they were always the new writers. And I imagine they were, after they were with us 18, 20 years, one day Jack said to his secretary, get me the new writers. They've been with them 18 years. They were the new writers.
The another episode in your book about writers was, is really funny. I think it was that Jack Benny wanted to give some credit to Mel Blanc on a show.
Yeah.
And he went into the writer's room.
What happened was Mel Blanc played the various characters on the show. Mm-hmm. He did the voice of the Maxwell. He did Anaheim Azusa and Cucamonga. He played the Mexican CSI routine. He did all that. He did the French violin teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, it was very good in the show, and after the rehearsal on radio, Jack called the writers over from out of the booth. And he said, the fellows, he said, at the end of the show, he said, I'd like to write something now to give Mel Blanc credit. I'd like to say that Mel Blanc played the part of the French violin teacher. So one of the writers said, okay, why don't you just say, at the end of the show, Mel Blanc played the part of the French violin teacher. Jack said, yeah, that's what I'll do, and he wrote it down. And as they walked away, the four of them, one of them turned and said, Jack, one of us could have given you that line. And Jack, of course, was a great audience. He fell on the floor for 10 minutes. He laughed, you know.
Pierre.
Yes, Suzette?
Pierre, I cannot understand you. You sit there with a sprained ankle, and yet there is such a happy look on your face.
Oui, ma chérie. Because of this ankle, I do not have to give Monsieur Benny a violin lesson.
Oh. Pierre, this Monsieur Benny, he is a moving picture star, no?
Oui, he is a moving picture star, no. He is on the radio.
Oh, the radio. What program?
Oh, you know the program that starts... Touche bas, touche tongue, c'est with me faire commencer, faire me loquer, touche votre gamer, faire me loquer, touche votre gamer.
Oh, yes, Yes, I've heard that many times.
Who can that be?
Maybe it is the landlord.
No, no, he would not come to a dump like this.
I will see.
Oh, how do you do? Does Professor LeBlanc live here?
Oui, I am Mrs. LeBlanc.
Well, I'm Jack Benny.
Sacre bleu.
Thank you.
Suzette, who is he?
Oh, it's me, Professor. I heard what happened to you, so I came over here for my lesson.
Sacre bleu.
Thank you. Professor, how's your sprained ankle?
A dismal failure.
What?
Nothing, nothing. If you are here for a lesson, let's get it over with.
Oui. I mean, yes. Now, Professor, when you were giving me my last lesson, what were we doing?
You were playing the Blue Danube, and I was picking up the dead flies.
No, no, no. I mean, after that. Anyway, what number do you want me to play today?
The same one you have been practicing for weeks and weeks and weeks. Minuet Lantique.
Oh, yes, yes. Here, I'll get my violin out of the case.
Suzette, aren't you going to kiss me goodbye?
I am not going out.
You will in a minute.
Well, here we are. Now, just a second. I better tune up.
Does not make any difference.
Oh, yes, yes. I have to be in tune. Now, shall I start with the minuet, Lanti?
Start with anything.
Okay.
No, 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 Monsieur Benny. Every week you make the same mistake. How many times do I have to tell you it is not da 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 da?
Oh.
You have to slide. Da, da, da.
Oh, yes, yes. I'll get it this time.
Sacré bleu.
Thank you. Too high. I'm sorry.
Pierre.
What is it, Suzette?
Vous l'apprenez à jouer au violon depuis 2 ans. Je ne l'ai tendu qu'une fois, mais il est le plus mauvais joueur que j'ai tendu dans toute ma vie.
Oui.
Oh, Professor, what did she say?
It loses something in the translation, but it means you stink.
It sounds lovely in French. Shall I take it again?
Oui, 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 oui.
Okay. Sacre bleu.
Suzette, the baby.
I know. Quiet, Mendel, quiet.
Monsieur Benny, please, the baby, stop playing.
Why did you make me stop?
The baby's hair turned gray.
Well, I'll take my lesson some other time. Goodbye.
But he spent an awful time laughing. He would laugh at everybody who was funny. And now people liked to be with him because people who had even mild senses of humor felt like great comedians. And comedians loved to be with him because he made them all feel number one. And the one, of course, he laughed at longest and loudest was George Burns. Mm-hmm. And George would do crazy things to Jack. And George could do simple things to Jack. And Jack would fall on the floor. You know, George could... I tell the book story that George, one day, Jack was wearing a blue suit. And he had a little teeny piece of thread on his lapel. And George went over and took off a piece of thread and said, "Could I borrow this thread for a while, Jack?" Well, Jack fell on the floor, you know. And he laughed and laughed. And then 2 days later, he received a package in the mail. It was a little velvet box. And in the box was this little piece of thread. And George sent a note. He said, "Thanks for lending me your thread."
And I'm down the one again.
Yeah, Jack. And George would do that kind of thing to Jack. Simple little jokes. And Jack would just think they were hilarious. And they were funny, you know.
Everyone, I'm sure, talks about Jack Benny's image of being a... rather thrifty kind of a person, but indeed he was absolutely the opposite. And in fact, he was almost extravagant, wasn't he?
Well, he was extravagant in certain things. He was extravagant to prove that he wasn't cheap. Mm-hmm. He would overtip. And we figured out that he would spend $7,500, $10,000 a year extra every year just to prove that he wasn't cheap by overtipping to porters, waiters, cab drivers. We go in a restaurant where you'd ordinarily tip $2, he'd tip $8, or $6, or $5. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I say, "Jack, that's ridiculous. We just had a sandwich and a cup of coffee, and the check was $2, and you left the man $6. I said, "That's ridiculous. You left him as big a tip as we ate." And Jack would say, "No, that's all right. Forget about it." Or when we go to the airport, where you would tip $1 for 2 bags, mm-hmm. let's say, to the porter. And I was with Jack, I would always tip bigger, so I would tip $2. Jack would yell at me, because I was always tipping for him. Jack would say, "That's ridiculous, give him $5, because, he wanted to prove that he wasn't cheap."
I would have thought that it might be an honor to get a dime tip from Jack Benny, though.
Well, that did happen, I tell the book, once he gave a hat check girl $1 for his hat. And she pushed it back to him and said, "Please, Mr. Benny, leave me some illusions." And once he took a cab in Las Vegas, and the ride was like 75 cents. And he gave the man $5, and he said, "Keep it." And the cab driver said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. My wife would yell at me because she thinks you're cheap, and she wants to keep thinking that way. And if I come home and say you gave me a $4.25 tip for a 75-cent ride, she'd be disappointed." So Jack said, "Okay, give me back $4.25. So the cab driver said, no, I think I'll let her be disappointed. Once Jack and I were rushing to, I think, NBC, 10, 15 years ago, and we jumped out of the cab and we rushed to the front door, I thinking he had paid the cab and he thinking I had paid the cab. And we got to the front door, the cab driver yelled, "So it's true about you, Mr. Benny." And Jack looked back and he realized he hadn't paid him. And he came back and, of course, gave him like $10 just to say, "Get rid of him."
Hey, that must be George now. Come in.
Well, Jack, I'm here.
Hey, kids, it's George Burns.
George Burns.
George, I knew you wouldn't let a pal down.
Of course not, Jack. What are pals for?
You know, kid, George and I have been friends for 20 years.
25.
That's right. We've been following each other's career since the days of vaudeville. We don't make a move without consulting each other. Isn't that right, George?
That's right.
But you did have me worried for a while. What took you so long to get here?
What took me so long? I've been chasing you all over town looking for you. When did you change networks?
When did I change networks? 3 years ago. George Burns, of all people.
Jack, don't get mad at him. Remember, he's your pal.
buddies. Buddies. Now, kids, George came here for one specific reason, and that is to sing my
when
song.
When I say I beg your pardon, then I'll come
not
back
yet,
to
George,
you.
Not yet, George, not yet.
If you ask me to push
George,
you
George, hold it. Wait a minute, hold it. I had a special arrangement made
Whoa.
For you. Wait a minute. George, I had a special arrangement made for the orchestra. So first, I'll find out what key it's in. Phil, what key is... Oh, for heaven's sakes. Phil, tell your boys to put away the dice and get back to their seats.
The boys ain't shooting dice.
Then why are they huddled around in the circle?
They're trying to get the handcuffs off of Fletch.
Well, tell them to hurry.
Oh, George, I should have asked you when you first came in. How's Gracie?
Fine, ma'am.
She was gonna come with me, but last week she bought a little puppy and she went out to enter him in a dog show.
Oh, he must be cute.
Not only cute, but Gracie thinks this puppy's the smartest dog in the world. She even thinks he can read.
Wait a minute, Gracie thinks this puppy can read?
Yeah, when she bought him, the man said, when you lock him up at night in the kitchen, don't forget to put a newspaper on the floor.
And she thinks he can read?
Leaves the light on all night.
Well, look, George, about my song.
Boy, you say I beg your pardon.
Wait for the band!
Boy, what an eager beaver.
Dennis, he's not an eager beaver. He's just anxious to sing my song because he thinks it's wonderful. Don't you, George?
Yes, sir. That song will sell more copies than My Tomato Ran Away, but I'll catch up to her.
Who wrote that?
Rogers and Hines.
What?
It has 57 choruses.
That's my pal. Always got a joke.
Buddies, buddies.
Now, come on, George. How about doing my song now?
Okay.
Wait till you hear this, folks. Ready, Phil? Take it.
When you say I beg your pardon, then I'll come back to you. When you ask me to forgive you, I'll return.
Listen to that voice.
Like the swallows in Serrano, return to Capistrano. For you, my heart will always, 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 always yearn.
That's my buddy.
When you say that you're sorry, then I will understand. Neath the harvest moon, we'll pledge our love anew.
That's an F sharp.
Oh, shut up. Come back to whence?
When? Yes, whence?
We started, and sweetheart, then I'll come back to you.
George, that was wonderful. Absolutely
when
wonderful.
When I say a big...
And believe me, you're through with it. Believe me, I'm grateful.
In this special closed-circuit broadcast to the managers and staffs of all CBS stations, Mr. Paley has asked that he might be the first to speak to you. Gentlemen, Mr. Paley...
I have asked to speak first so that I might have the pleasure of introducing Jack Benny. In a few moments, we'll pick up Jack Benny and Amos and Andy, too, speaking in Hollywood. But before we do that, I want to take the opportunity to say something else. It is in many ways, I think, the most significant thing I could say here, and that CBS, in fact, can say to the world. It is not about the developments of the past few weeks which have happily resulted in bringing Benny to CBS so soon after Amos and Andy. We all can see what this means to our Sunday night schedule and to our competitive strength and prestige as a network. But I'm thinking of something more important. It's the network Jack Benny is coming to. Our programming progress and our programming hopes for the future only make us all the more delighted that we are to have the one and only Jack Benny joining forces on Sunday night with a great comedy team, Amos and Andy. I can think of nothing which more effectively will strengthen our position. There is no one else like Jack Benny, truly one of radio's best, and at the very peak of his audience attraction today.
So I moved, and I didn't want to leave NBC. I loved NBC. But I had to make some kind of a deal where I could make some money, because here I was getting a terrific salary, and was all salary. And I couldn't make a deal for a company. Well, I wouldn't care if I got $1 million a week. That wouldn't do me any good. What good would that be? With income
the
income
tax,
that
right? Right,
sure.
Right.
So the ones that made me the deal and came right through with it quick was CBS. Then, of course, when NBC realized I was going to go, then they were willing to make the deal. But I didn't want to play one against the other, so I merely took CBS.
Well, CBS had generally rated NBC at that time, didn't they, with these
No, NBC, NBC was, once I got on, but NBC was really the first network. And then when I moved over, a lot of shows moved over.
Mm-hmm.
So that made really CBS come up on top.
Yeah.
I made the million CBS by that move, which I didn't know or didn't think, you know.
Hello, Jack Benny speaking.
Hello, boss. This is Rochester. Is it true that your program has moved to CBS?
That's right.
On Sunday night?
Yep, Sunday night.
Same time?
Yeah, same time.
And you got a new deal?
Yes, I've got a new deal.
Boss, how about a raise?
Absolutely not, and that's final.
Doggone, new station, new network, new deal. But the same old boss.
When Bill Paley moved him from NBC to CBS, was beginning of 1949.
Mm-hmm.
We had a big problem to let the audience know that he had moved to a new station and all over the country. And, you know, habit is very important in people's lives. And you never know when people will leave you because of habit. And we worked hard, and I worked with CBS, and we did all kinds of things to let people know he moved. And when he did move, he not only remained number one, but he even had a higher rating than when he was on NBC.
All right, boys, are you ready? Fine, let's go.
Sunday night, if you're blue and you don't know what to do, CBS will fill a void. There Jack Benny can be Hoyt.
Boy, the lyrics are fine, Sportsman, but I wish there was some way to improve the music. Oh, well, let it go.
The show was sold to CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And that required a series of long meetings with the agents and the attorneys and so forth and so on. And toward the end, Jack would get involved in these meetings.
Writer George Balzer.
And one day, he didn't show up because he had to go to a meeting. And we just went on, we're working on the script. And in the afternoon, he came back. And he says, "Well, fellas, we made the deal." And I said to him, I said, "Well, Jack, whatever it is, I hope you got a good deal." And he says, "I don't know whether I did or not." He says, "All I know is that we'll all be working together for the next 7 years." Now, where else can writers especially get that kind of a contract? The result of the deal was that we would all be together for the next 7 years. Writers usually work under the pressure at that time of having a 13-week deal, not knowing if they were going to be picked up or not.
Ronnie! Oh, Ronnie!
What is it, Benita?
Have you noticed the commotion next door? Jack Benn is moving.
Moving? That's wonderful. Let's celebrate.
No, no, no. He's not moving out of his house. His program is moving to CBS every Sunday night.
Benita, never, never do that to me again.
Is it true, Mr. Benny, that NBC once gave you an option on the 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock time slot
for
Sunday night?
Yeah, they told me as long as I would stay with them, I could have that time. Now, this was not in writing, but it was a definite agreement that I could have that time as long as I wanted to stay with them. But when I moved to CBS, CBS gave me exactly that same time.
The Lucky Strike program starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and yours truly, Don Wilson. Gentlemen, today marks Jack Benny's first program on the Columbia Broadcasting System. So let's go back a couple of hours and pick up Jack and Mary on their way to the studio. Rochester is driving.
Not so fast, Rochester. Don't cross the double line. Look out for that car. What's the matter with you?
I'm driving as carefully as I can, boss.
Well, just watch it, that's all.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack, calm down. Don't be so nervous.
I'm not nervous.
Then stop pacing up and down on the running board.
Okay, Mary, I'll admit it. I am nervous, and you can't blame me. Today's my opening broadcast on CBS.
All right, so you're opening on CBS.
What do you mean, all right? Do you realize it's the first time my program will be heard in Alaska?
Well, so what? I've yet to see a walrus smoking a Lucky Strike.
Oh, yeah? I saw one last night.
That was Jerry Colonna.
And I'll have to apologize. I threw him a fish. Anyway, Mary, this is no time for joking. I'm upset.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Jack. Why should you be worried? You must have $1 million down in your vault.
I know, but I don't want to break up the serial number. I mean, Mary, stop asking me questions, will you? I'm in Rochester, I don't want to have an accident on the way to the studio. Now, slow down.
I'm only going 12 miles an hour.
Don't give me that. What does it say on the speedometer?
Made in 1899.
I mean, besides that.
Jack, you're working yourself into a breakdown. Rochester, see if you get something on the radio so Mr. Benny can relax.
Yes, ma'am.
That concludes another broadcast by your friendly philosopher. And now for a special announcement. Remember, only 2 more hours and Jack Benny will be on CBS.
Turn that off! That's all they've been broadcasting for the past week. 6 more days till Jack Benny. 5 more days till Jack Benny. 4 more days. 2 more hours.
Well, Jack, if you don't like it, make him stop it.
I will not.
I can't figure you out. First you don't like it, then you do like it. I've never seen you this
all
way.
Right.
He's been a nervous wreck all week, Miss Livingston. Last night he didn't sleep a wink. He just kept tossing and turning and whimpering like a baby.
Well, was there anything you could do for him?
I tried everything. I even threw him over my shoulder and burped him twice.
Oh, Rochester, stop exaggerating.
I'm not exaggerating, boss. You've even been talking in your sleep.
Talking in his sleep?
Yeah. Miss Livingston, who is William Paley?
William Paley is the head of the Columbia Broadcasting System. Why?
He has now replaced Harry Lamar in Mr. Benny's dream.
Stop, Rochester. I've never dreamed about Mr. Paley.
Yes, you did, boss. All night long, you kept saying, P-A-L-E-Y, P-A-L-E-Y.
Look, Rochester, I'm upset enough as it is without your discussing... Oh, fine. It's all I need now, a traffic cop. Rochester, he wants us to pull over to the curb.
Thought you didn't, I.
What's the matter, officer? Were we speeding?
Don't flatter yourself. You went through a red light.
Officer, the light was green when we started through the intersection.
Yeah, I know, but it changed twice before this jalopy got across.
Look, officer, I'm afraid this is my fault. I'm in a hurry.
I'm talking to the driver, so keep your... Wait a minute. You're Jack Benny, aren't you?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Well, then you must be on your way to the studio to do your first broadcast for CBS.
That's right.
Well, only a louse would give you a ticket on a day like this.
Well, thank you.
Shake hands with Officer Sam Louse.
What?
I'm sorry, Mr. Benny, but duty is duty. Now, I'll write this.
Calling all cars. Calling all cars.
Excuse me a minute. This may be important.
Attention all officers. There has been a holdup on 4th and Olive. Investigate a double murder at Hill and Grand. Only 2 more hours and Jack Benny will be on CBS.
Gee, they have that announcement on your radio, too. Gee, the police must like my program.
Yes, they use it down at headquarters for the 3rd degree.
3rd degree?
Twice I confessed and I didn't even do anything. Well, you can go, Mr. Benny, and I won't give you a ticket. I can't stand the tears in those big blue eyes.
Thank you. Go ahead, Rochester. Drive on, will you?
Just a second, boss. I've got to start the motor.
Oh, gee whiz, Jack. I hope you don't have trouble starting it like you always do.
Don't worry about that. I mean, yesterday I had the motor tuned. Go ahead, Rochester. Start it.
Tuned it, Spike Jones.
Mary, please. Rochester, try it again, will you?
Don't worry, boss. I'll get this motor started. But close your eyes.
Why?
I'm going to use the whip.
I don't care what you use. Let's get to the studio.